We are meant to cultivate mercy. And that mercy for the rabbis is not only, if you will, for the birds. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 127, Mercy and the Mother Bird. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Today, in an unusual departure from standard procedure, we will begin with a poem that is not by Robert Frost. Although, it should be said that this poet, like Frost, wrote using meter at a time where free verse was often the preference of poets, and that, like Frost, this poet was inspired by nature. The poet's name is Richard Wilbur, and he gives us this small creation that, as a parent, I found very meaningful. It describes a child that hears the hoot of an owl and, pondering the bird of prey, is suddenly afraid. The parent reinterprets the owl's call in a way that the child is suddenly calmed. This is the poem. The warping night air having brought the boom of an owl's voice into her darkened room, we tell the wakened child that all she heard was an odd question from a forest bird, asking of us, if rightly listened to, who cooks for you? And then, who cooks for you? And then the poem goes on. Words which can make our terrors bravely clear can also thus domesticate a fear and send a small child back to sleep at night, not listening for the sound of stealthy flight, or dreaming of some small thing in a claw borne up to some dark branch and eaten raw. That is the poem. In other words, in relating to nature, the parents seek to address the child's needs. How we relate to nature, and particularly to certain birds, is the question raised by our mitzvah of the day, known in standard rabbinic parlance as Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird. The source of the mitzvah is Deuteronomy 22, verses 6 and 7. Ki kare kan sipor lefanecha. If you come upon the nest of a bird before you, baderech, on the road in which you find yourself, bechol eitz o ala aretz, whether in any tree or on the ground, efrochim o beitzim, small birds or eggs, v'ha'em rovetzet ala efrochim, and the mother is atop these birds, o ala beitzim, or over the eggs. Lo tikach ha'em al ha'banim, do not take the mother with the progeny. Shaleach teshalach et ha'em, thou shalt surely send away the mother. Only then can you take the progeny, meaning the small birds or the eggs. Laman yitav lach v'harachta yamim, so that God will be good to you, and you shall live long. This is the verse commanding us not to take the mother with the eggs or the small birds in the nest at the same time. On the face of it, the meaning of this mitzvah is intuitively obvious. The Bible is asking us to not bring unnecessary pain upon the mother bird. It is asking us, in this moment, to show mercy. And yet, it would seem, as many note, that the Talmud goes out of its way to discourage such an understanding. For we are told in the Mishnah that one in public prayer, praising God, should not utter the phrase, Al kan tzipor yagio rachamecha, on a bird, on a mother bird, on a bird's nest, O God, your mercy reaches. The injunction appears to be that we should not, drawing on this verse, praise God for showing mercy thereby to these fowl. The fowl, of course, in this commandment, being not owls, which are not kosher in the Torah, but rather birds that are permitted. The rabbinic implication is that this is a commandment that is not entirely about mercy for the mother bird. And yet, again, as many note, Maimonides explicitly states that mercy is indeed the purpose of the obligation. And there have been many attempts to reconcile these two rabbinic sources, one from the classical period, the other medieval. But my own interpretation, and here I am definitely drawing on the interpretations of others, is that while Jewish law certainly prohibits needless cruelty to animals, and while, as Maimonides emphasizes, mercy is certainly a value expressed in this commandment, what the rabbis are trying to tell us is that ultimately God wishes to ensure not only that we have mercy toward his creatures, but that this trains us above all to have mercy toward those created in his image, toward our fellow human beings. The hard truth is that both in the early pagan period, as well as today, we can find those that embrace nature and that worry about creatures in nature, but seem unconcerned about evildoers that wreak destruction upon human beings. We are meant to cultivate mercy, and that mercy for the rabbis is not only, if you will, for the birds. We imitate the Almighty's mercy, and we are obligated to focus first and foremost in directing that mercy toward those created in the image of God. We close today, then, with another poem about an owl by Edward Thomas. And this poem, I believe, captures the heart of the explanation that has been advanced. It reads, "Downhill I came, hungry and yet not starved, cold yet had heat within me that was proof, against the north wind, tired, yet so that rest had seemed the sweetest thing under a roof. Then at the inn I had food, fire, and rest, knowing how hungry, cold, and tired was I. All of the night was quite barred out except an owl's cry, a most melancholy cry." This is the first half of the poem. A person is tired, has come to an inn. The poet describes himself as happy to have found rest when suddenly he hears the cry of a bird. As he goes on to describe, this made him think of those who are still hungry, those who have no rest. As he goes on, "Shaken out long and clear upon the hill, no merry note, nor cause of merriment, but one telling me plain what I escaped, and others could not that night as in I went. And salted was my food and my repose, salted and sober too, by the bird's voice, speaking for all who lay under the stars, soldiers and poor, unable to rejoice." So the poem ends. The poet hears the cry of the bird and is stirred to think of other human beings that have no shelter. We are meant to develop the virtue of mercy, and we are obligated to ensure that mercy is directed to those whose status as human beings demands it most. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.